Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big matchup coming up on Sunday between the Titans and the Green Bay Packers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD. TD, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
So, TD, look, I'm so excited about this game on Sunday. I think it's got a chance to be a great game. What matchup in this game excites you the most as you look ahead to the battle between the Titans and the Packers?
Oh, there's a lot of matchups. I think really the matchup that excites me the most, just watching, will be Devontae Adams going against the Titans cornerbacks. I want to see if they travel Malcolm Butler with them. But regardless, whatever they do, you know, just getting to watch that technician out there go against the corners, that's going to be one to watch. But I'm excited about watching Arthur Smith versus Dom Capers. I think that's going to be something to watch as well, just and focus on, because, you know, these are two really good coordinators that are going to be doing battle in prime time. So that's something to be hyped up about.
TD, do you think it's too early, or maybe just not the best matchup to travel Adoree Jackson with Devontae Adams some Sunday night?
I don't really think it's necessary. I probably wouldn't put that on him at this point right now. Now, even though when you put a guy out there, you know, you're trusting that he's ready to go and able to play at full capacity. But I think that's actually the benefit of putting Adoree into the lineup. You don't have to have your corner travel with somebody because you got one good one on each side. So it's early for that. I don't really think it's necessary.
TD, as you look at this matchup for Derrick Henry, the Packers have been vulnerable at times this year with their rush defense up the middle. Number one, what do you think a type of game he could have in this game? And number two, is there anything he can do left at this point to really put himself in legit conversation with Rodgers and Mahomes in the MVP discussion? How much could this game factor into that going head-to-head against Rodgers?
Yeah, I think if they run between the tackles, that will give Henry an opportunity to pick up some yards. But for me, when I watch him, it's really outside and running, hitting the alleys. That's where he's at his best. But I think tonight, I'm ready for the game to happen right now.
Me too.
I think on Sunday night, if he has a really outstanding showing, he could put himself, you know, kind of in that conversation. But, you know, it's a quarterback-driven award, and that's really the bottom line. And I think what he can really do is just further solidify the offensive player of the year award that he's very likely to win. That's really how I look at it.
TD, how vulnerable is this Green Bay defense? Their numbers aren't bad. We know they have a terrific pass rusher in Za'Darius Smith, who absolutely wrecked the Titans the last time he saw them when he was with the Ravens. But they've also been vulnerable. I mean, how vulnerable do you think they are?
Yeah, I think they're very vulnerable. And one of the things that I look at is the Colts game. And the Colts were, you know, they were down by a good amount, but they kept running the football and they stuck with it. And they basically ran themselves back into the game. I think that's something you have to take note of. And you could also look at the Vikings game. You know, Dalvin Cook got down against them. So they can, you know, you can run the ball against them. And I think, you know, when you look at a guy like Henry going in there at this time of the year, you know, and just constantly weighing on a defense, just like always, I think that fourth quarter is going to be an opportunity to really break things open. But it's important to have the game close because, you know, if you get down against the Packers, you know, they just have a way of just being able to keep loading it and just Aaron Rodgers, you know, getting off. But more importantly, those pass rushers could pin their ears back. The Smith brothers, Preston and Za'Darius Smith, they could pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. They're built to play with a lead. So I think if you keep that game close, you could definitely run the football on them. And that's something that the Titans are going to have to do. And when I say close, I'm talking about within even two scores, you know, and the Colts show that that's something that you could do against them.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter hosting Nate and TD and talking with TD, Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, we've talked a lot this year about Kevin Byard. I thought he was really good on Sunday against Detroit, matched up one-on-one at times with Hockenson, did a really good job. Obviously, the pick at the end. How much of a confidence boost do you think that game Sunday was for Kevin Byard?
Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty good confidence boost. I think it's a sense of relief, honestly, getting that interception. I know that Kevin Byard, he prides himself on forcing turnovers, so being able to do that obviously was something that was really big for him. And I definitely think spinning it forward, you know, he'll have that sense of relief, but you know, they just got to go out there and keep playing ball, and that was a good thing for him to have happen last week.
I think Joe may have left you on mute, so we'll continue the discussion here. TD, as you look at this matchup,
I did. Sorry,
there he is. He's back. Joe, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to let you ask your question anyway. Yeah, my mute issues. All right. I actually had a good question too, I swear. So, TD, you mentioned Adoree, the benefit of, you know, being on either side, you whatever coverage you're in, you know, you feel like you're solid. Obviously, I think Vaccaro's a guy too that I think if he can come back, you know, you've got a really good secondary on paper. So, do you think now maybe that opens up some of the pressures, aggressiveness, creativity that, I don't know, maybe Vrabel, Shane Bowen haven't been comfortable using? I'm trying to come up with reasons here that they can find any kind of pass rush. Do you think that it has any kind of positive effect on the coaching aspect of trying to scheme up pressure?
I think it will have an effect for them. And that's something that I've said before, you know, getting Adoree back. You know, it just further develops your trust that you have in the back end, and that will allow you to send some of the guys, even if it's someone from the back end. And they kind of showed that a couple times against the Packers. Desmond King, you know, he was used on the blitz. There was a time where Amani Hooker got sent too, and it was kind of like a run blitz because, you know, he was down there in the box and he went in and he almost had a tackle for a loss. So you are seeing them start to use them a little bit more. You mentioned Kenny Vaccaro, and getting him back and in that lineup is definitely big time. And he's someone that we've seen them blitz with frequently, you know, and that's something else that will help. And when you have just a collection of players that they do, you kind of have to do that in order to create that pressure. Even though you're starting to see Derek Roberson start just, you know, getting into his groove and impacting the quarterback, Harold Landry continues with his stuff, and you got Simmons in the middle, but definitely, you know, having a full stock of cornerbacks in there, it will allow you to get a little bit more active in the blitz game.
TD, last thing for you here. We talked about this a little bit earlier this week. Derrick Henry back on the highlight reel again on Sunday with another stiff arm, this time at the expense of Alex Myers. He pile drove him into the earth. Which stiff arm was more disrespectful, in your opinion? The one he did on Sunday against Myers or the one earlier this season against Josh Norman?
I still think it was the Josh Norman one, just because anytime you could put your hands on somebody and make them, you know, go horizontal – That's doing something. But even, you know, you look at the Myers one, it's just, somebody needs to tell Derrick Henry that somewhere out there in the world, there's an older lady watching that saying, don't hurt my baby. You know what I mean? they can't, that stuff can't keep happening, but it's what goes down when you go in high and hesitant, you know, on Derrick Henry. He's going to make you pay for it.
Oh, man, yes, he will. So, TD, hey, normally we get you Friday, and you've done Whiteboard Wednesday, but this is a preview. What have you got? Have you got a plan for Whiteboard Wednesday?
Yeah, it'll be loading in a couple minutes. I just have to go through and edit something real quick. But, yeah, it's going to focus on not on Derrick Henry, but A.J. Brown, the Pro Bowl wide receiver, A.J. Brown. Want to look at a way to get him the football. You know, an easy touch and get some yards after the catch from him. So that's something that I will be going up in a bit.
Awesome. ESPN NFL awesome. Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. TD, thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and hope you enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you guys, and happy holidays to everyone out there listening.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, one of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the Titans and the Packers game. What scares you the most in this game if you're a Titans fan? What scares us if you're a Green Bay fan in this game looking ahead to the matchup on Sunday Night Football? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You can hear Titans coach Mike Vrabel meeting with the media today on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He'll be talking at 11 o'clock on Darren Donick and Chase. And, of course, our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are sponsored by Dunkin', featuring their new location on Harding Pike in Belle Meade. So, Joe, we've talked a lot this week about the matchup between the Titans and the Packers. From a Titans standpoint, as you look ahead to this battle, we know how gifted both of these offenses are. We know how vulnerable at times both of these defenses are. As you evaluate this from the Titans' point of view, what scares you the most in this matchup if you're the Titans looking ahead to the Packers?
First of all, I just have to say, Elijah, you got the Jizza, the genius, two straight intros in a row. That's got to be that may be a record, and I'd like to tip my hat to you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. So I'm here.
Absolutely. Yes. Here's one thing that I thought about that I think is something people might overlook, although maybe sometimes too much is made of this, but I think with this Titans team, it is interesting. You know, I feel like John Robinson, like, maybe biased toward people from the South when he picks players. Like, I'm thinking about, like, how many guys on this team are straight up like from the South, play their college ball in the South, go to the Titans, and have not had to deal with that weather. And it's a lot. Like, it's basically all the key players on offense and most of the guys on defense too. I mean, you got a little Big Ten, little Saffold and Kelly, Big Ten rivals, by the way, Indiana, Purdue.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Taylor Lewan, of course, Michigan when he's on the field. Defensively, you've got a few guys here and there. You've got Daquan Jones from Penn State, but I mean, almost everyone is like Southern and used to warm weather for the most part when they play their football. So that, I mean, no, this is not going to be like terrible conditions, but that is why Green Bay wants home games, because Green Bay, that team is conditioned to playing that stuff. By the way, there's now snow in the forecast.
Yes.
For some, I don't know how much, but there's some
less than 1 inch. So it's not going to be like this huge snowstorm, but it looks like there could be some snow around kickoff on Sunday night.
But you got, yeah, and you got a, you know, you got a low of 17 that night. So, I mean, you're talking about what kickoff might be, you know, 22, 23 degrees, something like that. I mean,
yeah. Nice football weather.
Yeah, it's not like, again, I mean, this is going back 4 years. The Titans went into Kansas City. That's the coldest game I've ever covered, that game in Kansas City. It was absolutely dangerous to be outside that day. And there are guys, you know, by the way, this is a totally different tangent. If I owned a football team, I would mandate that my players wear thermal sleeves. Because what it would do is it would take the decision out of their hands, because everybody wants to be tough. Yeah. No, I'm going to come out the line. I want to be tough. you know what? I'm going to say, look, I own this team, so this is not you being weak. I am making you do this. I am making you wear thermal sleeves, all of you, and you will all play better, and you will feel better, and it will just make sense. Let's not be stupid. Everybody has to be tough. And so, like, that day, like, you know, like Ben Jones out there barefoot before the game and all this stuff, and I was like, just come on, guys.
Put some socks on, man.
It's not healthy.
Yeah. Right, it's like, but that's why the team owners should take this out of their hands so that there doesn't have to be like some tough guy competition. But regardless, that's separate from this. This is a different deal for a lot of these guys. I mean, they don't normally play in this stuff, so I think of that as a bit of a factor. You know, we'll see. I mean, the thing is, if the Titans can get that run game going, they'll quickly feel better about being in that environment, and I think that they have a great chance to do that.
See, I think the cold could play into the Titans' favor on offense from the standpoint of, yeah, I get it what you're saying. Like, Green Bay players, they're used to playing in this, and they practice in it every day. Like, I saw the video of them yesterday at practice. It's pretty cold out there in Green Bay on a daily basis. But trying to tackle Derrick Henry over and over again,
yeah,
in normal conditions is not fun. I can't imagine it's much fun at all when it's really cold. Like, you're talking about it's nighttime, maybe 22, 23 degrees. And you get into the third and fourth quarter, and you're having to tackle Derrick Henry and how massive he is, which I think Aaron Rodgers' quote on him yesterday was, quote, he's a tremendous-sized human. Like, trying to tackle him over and over again, I can't imagine it's very much fun in the cold.
Yeah. No, it's already miserable. And then you add in that it just hurts a little bit more because of how cold it is. So, no, I agree. The Titans' style lends itself to the conditions. It's just the roster doesn't. Another thing obviously most of the focus with the Titans' worries in every game, every week, is the defense and can they affect the quarterback? Is it a good quarterback? If it is, then what are they going to do? But I do think Za'Darius Smith is definitely a concern. I mean,
yep.
Again, it's different defense, different scheme and all that stuff, but 21-0 Ravens here. And I think he had 3 sacks and like 5 tackles for loss. They could not come close to blocking him in that game. He wrecked that game, and that's the last time they saw him. Now, again, a couple years later and all that stuff, and it's but he's really good. He's also, by the way, guy that they should have thrown everything at to try to get him here, but that's a little too late for that. But that he's a guy who, with that defense, you get in those obvious passing situations, he moves around. He's a concern.
He's got 11.5 sacks on the season so far, so yeah, definitely a concern for the Titans in that game. I look over to the other side, and look, I mean, Derrick Henry is a concern for every team every week. That goes without saying. But I think Corey Davis in this game has got a chance to have a pretty big game. I mean, A.J. Brown, I would guess for the most part, is going to be matched up against Jaire Alexander, who is a great cornerback in this league, a Pro Bowler this year for the first time. He's a very good player. A.J. Brown will get his catches. He'll get his numbers against that Packers defense and against Jaire Alexander. But Corey Davis, if he gets matched up against Kevin King, I think King's solid. I think Corey Davis has got a chance to have a big game against the Titans. And look, I mean, we talked about it. The offenses both should be able to move the ball. But I think that Corey Davis has got an opportunity in this game, depending on how the Titans line him up, how much they move him around, to have a pretty big game. And, the Packers' safeties have been interesting this year. They've got Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage back there as well. They've been very hit or miss, so I think there'll be some opportunities for Tannehill. I know Henry's going to get a lot of attention. I know that's going to be the talking point. You're going to hear about Derrick Henry and his stiff arms probably 35 times on the broadcast on Sunday night, but I think Tannehill, he's got an opportunity to have a pretty big game here as well.
Yeah. Now, on the other side, Robert Tonyan is a concern. Now, this is coming off, I think, a really terrific tight end coverage performance for the Titans.
Yeah.
TJ Hockenson's a really good player. Kevin Byer did a really good job when he was matched up with him. They did the job there, and that was good to see. But I think Tonyan runs a little bit better than Hockenson. Hockenson's a little bit bigger, more physical guy, but Tonyan's a guy. And again, it's also so the Lions matchup, you can think more about Hockenson because really, who are you worried about outside? I mean, Marvin Jones is good and he had a good game, but that's different than this week. I mean, this week, you've got to be scheming up different things for Davante Adams, which to me, as you've mentioned, MVS could get some big plays in this game. Of course, he's that vertical guy, but I just think Tonyan may be a guy who ends up having some significant plays because of that attention on Devontae Adams. So that's a concern, too. He's a good player, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to look at the Packers receiving core. I mean, Devontae Adams, I can tell you this, there's going to be a heavy emphasis to get him the ball this week. The talking point after the game for Green Bay against Carolina last week was they just didn't find a way to get Devontae Adams the ball enough. They'll move him around. They'll put him in the slot. They'll do everything they need to do to get him the ball. And Carolina played, basically, they dropped eight last week and just sat back. And that's why Aaron Jones had such a big game, because they just let him run the ball the whole game. So you can go about doing it that way if you're the Titans. I think you're leaving yourself pretty vulnerable at that point as well. But you're gonna see a heavy emphasis from Green Bay to get the ball to 17 coming up on Sunday. And you mentioned Valdez-Scantling there. He's a vertical threat. He's the fastest player that the Packers have. He is just as likely to drop the ball or fumble it than he is to catch it. So just keep an eye on that in the game on Sunday. Alan Lazard is kind of their possession guy that they'll line up. He's their number two behind Adams. Not really much of a threat down the field, but he is a guy that's hard to bring down after he catches the ball. Not quite like A.J. Brown or anything like that, but a solid player. So they've got some options to spread the ball around to. You mentioned Tonyan there as well. They're going to be able to spread the ball around. If you're the Titans, you've just got to find a way to make sure Devontae Adams just doesn't absolutely kill you. He's going to get his catches. He's going to get his numbers. He can beat really any type of coverage. He's one of the most versatile receivers in the league. He's going to put up some numbers. You just have to make sure he doesn't put up like three touchdowns in a game like he's been known to do a couple times this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned another concern. I mean, Aaron Jones, you know, it's just like we talk about, hey, Derrick Henry, you don't want to tackle that guy. It's not the same with Aaron Jones, but he's a very good running back. And I thought that was the worst Titans, you know, rush defense performance in a few weeks. Yep. Against the Lions. It was disappointing. You know, they really got gashed a few times by both Peterson and Swift and made it, you know, again, it's one of those, it's you're so loaded up and emphasizing the pass game when Matthew Stafford is on the field against the Lions. You know, sometimes that helps the other team's run game. But this is where the Packers get you in a bind, and just like the Titans do. I mean, this is a legit, I think, I don't know, you tell me, you watch them a lot more than I do. I think Aaron Jones is top 6, 7?
Yeah.
Am I selling him short? Is he top 5?
No, he's
very good running back.
I'd say 6 or 7. He's very good. He is. The thing about Aaron Jones is he's probably more dangerous in the passing game than he is running the ball. And that's another thing you got to watch out for as well. They'll use Jamal Williams as well. If he's able to go, he got banged up a bit last week. And then they took a running back in the second round, even though they had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. So A.J. Dillon could be a part of the plans as well. Who knows? Just
anything but a receiver.
We'll give you anything else but a receiver, Aaron Rodgers. Don't worry about that. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, I'm afraid of the Packers because this might show us again that we can't beat an elite team. And if that's the case, we'll just have to hope for the best in the postseason and try to get better next year.
Okay.
Optimism.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, you know, that's what's funny is obviously the Steelers were perceived as an elite team. The Titans almost ended up coming back in that game. We thought the Ravens were an elite team this year. They aren't, but that's a good win. The Colts is a good win. Buffalo is a team that people more and more are talking about as an elite team, and the Titans beat them by 26. I mean, every game's different. You know, that's the thing. Do I think the Titans are 26 points better than Buffalo? No, but, you know, in this one-game situation, the Titans could lay an egg Sunday and still make a run in the playoffs. But I understand the sentiment. I mean, I think this is a moment for fans like, okay, what do we have here? Like, what is January going to look like? You know, can this team really do something? I think if the Titans – I mean, no one's going to take any moral victories out of this if they lose a close game, but you probably still feel a lot better about January. And I think that that's reasonable if they go in there and almost win this game. But, you know, I think they're good enough to actually win the game.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex texts in and says, I'm truly scared that Butler can't keep up with Adams or Valdez-Scantling. I'm also worried that Jaire Alexander will shut down A.J. Brown or Corey Davis. I mean, there's a lot of interesting matchups in this game that, I mean, look, it's the NFL. You're going to win some of those matchups. You're going to lose some of them. I'm not worried about, you know, A.J. Brown just going out there and getting totally shut down by Jaire Alexander. Like, Alexander's a really good player. I don't think he's going to be, like, totally just remove A.J. Brown from the game plan.
How physical is he? Because that's always, to me, a big thing. Like, I'd like to see Butler and A.J. Brown, you know, match up, and that we see it in camp. You know,
he's like, not like that.
You got to have physicality.
I mean, he's got some physicality to him. I don't know if he's got enough to just manhandle A.J. Brown. I mean, that's a different kind of dude you're dealing with, that receiver in A.J. Brown.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. The Titans, I mean, even in – they've had some weeks this year where – and actually the Buffalo game comes to mind. They had other people out and things like that, and – you know, they have ways to get him the ball quickly, and then that's where it's just a problem. So, you know, you probably expect to see some of that. You know, can they get him? Can they shake him loose on a vertical route? You know, maybe that's less likely if they're matching him up with Jair Alexander. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Titans receivers are going to have a chance to make plays. You know, I would be much less worried about that than how many plays are going to be made at the expense of the Titans.
Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. We'll keep it simple. The Titans versus the Packers, who wins the game? And you could drop your final score on Twitter as well in the replies. So far, 67% of the vote, over 350 votes, have the Titans winning, 33% with the Packers. A lot of these final score replies, Joe, have this game in the 30s and some in the 40s. So a lot of predictions of some high-scoring football on Sunday.
God, please don't give us like a 13-9.
I know. I'm getting so scared that it's going to be like 16-12.
I'll be crushed. I'll be more heartbroken for that than anything else. I want points, man.
Yeah, the entire football. That's the thing. Like, we're all on the same team in the entire football world of like counting on this shootout. You know, so yeah, don't blow it, Titans and Packers.
When we come back, we threw this question out a couple of weeks ago when Baker Mayfield was coming into town about where he ranks on the punchable quarterback scale. Where does Aaron Rodgers rank on that scale? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, I looked over the break on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The over-under in this game, 56.5 for the Titans and the Packers. And if the game goes like people on Twitter are saying it's going to go, they're going to annihilate the over in this game. Are we concerned that maybe we're overestimating the offenses in this game if the over-under is only at 56.5, Joe?
Well, yeah, I would definitely – I see that number, and I think over – you know, that's still, we could have like a nice 28-27 game, which would be fun, and hit the under.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit of, yeah, both teams are probably looking at it like, man, let's run the ball, because who wants to deal with, you know, defending that in this? And so maybe then you have, you know, possessions that chew up a little bit more clock, and maybe you get a little bit lower. I mean, I'll accept that, you know, I'll accept high 20s. I just we don't want the, you know, we don't want the like Titans of the first 6 weeks of 2019 kind of score.
All of a sudden the Titans just turning into defensive juggernauts in this game. Yeah. Could be.
See, here's my theory so far is that I think Vegas is probably taking the weather into account a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 22 degrees is pretty cold, but in Green Bay, isn't that practically summer?
Yeah. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers.
They're going to be out there in shorts.
The cold weather does not slow that offense down very much.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't.
They're going to be comfortable. 22 degrees, like I said, it's pretty cold. Even here, I feel like it's not the worst thing in the world. You're going into Lambeau and you escape sub-10 degree temperatures. Yeah. It's a win. Congratulations on doing that.
Yeah, like when the schedule came out and I saw the Titans were going here on December 27th, I was like, oh, my God. It might be -8
playing
in that
an
game.
Igloo.
Yeah.
So it could be way worse.
Yeah, like, you know, 23, that's not that bad, Joe. I think the Titans lucked out here.
That's balmy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It could be way worse. So you said it's 56-something?
Yeah, 56.5.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, even like, you know, 30-27, 30-20, I mean, that's a reasonable.
Yeah.
That's still a high-scoring competitive game, which we'd all be happy with. So, yeah, I would lean toward the over on that. You know, I feel like both of these offenses, because they can run it and they can chew up clock, but they both also can strike fast. And you figure both teams will find some big plays.
I'm just going through the replies on Twitter to our poll question for the score. You've got a 42-35, 35-27, 42-35, 41-44, 41-38. A lot of faith in the over in this game. Way to go, Titans fans.
You're going to jinx it.
We need to stop talking about it.
Yeah, I know. I feel so bad. I feel like I'm setting us up for major disappointment on Sunday night. Joe, we had a conversation a couple weeks ago when Baker Mayfield was rolling into town about the punchable quarterback list. And last night, as we're getting ready for the show, I look at the grid, and you've put Aaron Rodgers maybe on this list, and it offends me. It hurts me as a Green Bay Packers fan, as a lover of Aaron Rodgers. It hurts my soul that you've done this. Why do you want to punch Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, so this is where you have to separate yourself now. Okay. So for example, even in my youth, as my favorite team of all time and all sports ever will always be the Bad Boys Detroit Pistons.
Sure.
I absolutely love Bill Laimbeer, and I still can step outside of that and say, yeah, I see how punchable he is.
Yeah,
I see why you want to. This is now I'm not saying that's Aaron Rodgers, but you gotta step back. Now I don't think Aaron Rodgers rises to the punchability level of a Rivers or a Baker, but this came to mind because I think it was NFL Network. I'm not sure. It might have been ESPN. He did an interview where he's just begging for the MVP. He was like openly campaigning for the MVP.
And it's Pat McAfee show. Yeah.
Okay. Was it the Pat McAfee show? Yeah. I don't think that's so. Okay. So I think he's done it then at least on two shows. So he's making the media rounds doing this, you know, campaign. Like I don't see Mahomes out there crying and asking for another MVP. And frankly, you know, look, I understand that the Packers would like to see him get an MVP and all that, but like, is it not possible that someone in that organization might be like, hey, Aaron, can we win? Can we get the number one seed? Can we go get a Super Bowl? Like, you know, is it really that important that you get an MVP? Look, I actually appreciate the honesty.
I was about to say, we're sitting here in 2020, and you've been complaining about Zoom for the past 7 months and how boring it is, and now you're ripping Aaron Rodgers for being honest about wanting to win the MVP.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a fair criticism because I complain about coach speak and player speak, and he's being honest. But at the same time, I could see someone in there saying, hey, how about some player speak right now? How about some coach speak? Let's focus on the team stuff.
He doesn't care anymore.
Beyond that, it's just, you know, I think it's a little bit tacky. And I think he's pretty punchable. He also is at least. See, the thing that saves him for me is because he's very arrogant. I think that's it. Like Rivers is just a tool, you know, out there screaming at everybody and talking, right? Rodgers is like seems like a pretty cool guy and a funny guy. He's arrogant. That's I still put that a little bit lower level than the annoyances of Phil and probably Baker too.
Yeah.
Baker is actually easier to tolerate when they win. For whatever reason, last year, when they had that horrible year, he just became intolerable.
Yeah.
You know? He's less of an annoyance as a winner. But Philip Rivers is more of an annoyance to me when they do well because he talks more trash.
Right.
But Rodgers has that arrogance thing. Like the State Farm commercials help him to me because he is funny. So if you can add some comedy to the whole thing, then I think you're more likable.
He's a pretty funny dude. Like he does this weekly segment on Pat McAfee's show, and we could probably play like 20% of it here legally, but it's really great. Like it's hilarious. It's one of the greatest things about my week. I agree, though. Like, look, as somebody who's watched Aaron Rodgers play a lot of football, it doesn't take very long for me to figure out why like people hate him. Number one, like. You know, your Lions fans, your Bears fans, your Vikings fans, they hate him because he's really good and he destroys their team all the time. But I can watch Aaron Rodgers play and watch kind of like how smug he is sometimes and think to yourself, okay, yeah, I can see why people may not like him. I'm open to that.
Yeah, and I just, again, this last thing, I just, I wonder, honestly, are there MVP voters? And I now wish we would have asked Charles yesterday. You know, we can ask him next week. Are there MVP voters who look around and see this guy out there saying, yeah, I really want another MVP and say, you know what? I am a little bit less inclined to vote for him. I think that's actually possible. I think it might work against him to do that.
Well, they need to have their MVP vote taken away if you get influenced by crap like that.
Well,
one way or the other.
Yeah, but hey, listen, look, that's fine, but let's not also pretend, just like with the coach speak, player speak, like we like honesty, you know, let's not pretend that personality and things like that don't influence people. I mean, they do. Look, I agree. Like if he's clearly the MVP and it's like, well, I just don't like him, I'm not voting for him, then I agree, take the vote away. But if it's so close and it's, you know, it's like you really don't have a wrong answer at the end between Mahomes and Rodgers, which is probably how it's going to end up here, and that's a tiebreaker, yeah, I have a little bit more sympathy for that.
You hurt my soul sometimes.
You don't buy that.
No. The guy's got 40 touchdowns, man, and four interceptions. Who cares what he says? He's earned it. Like, I get it. It's close between him and Mahomes.
You think he's clear? Well, yeah, well, that's the thing. It's close. Now, if he clearly has earned it, then that's one thing. But we don't know how these last – I mean, you know, if he throws a pick Sunday night late in the game and they lose, I'm not sure he's the leader anymore despite that. I mean, that's a heck of a stat. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I still think this is really close, don't you?
Yeah, it's close. I mean, look, Kansas City's 13-1. I mean, it's absolutely close. Now, I will say, Aaron Rodgers leads Patrick Mahomes in every single passing statistic except passing yards. So – not really that close, but yeah, it's close. So, like, I threw that shade in there. That was good.
Yeah, no, that was good. But the difference is, one of those guys is not punchable.
That's true.
That's an advantage.
Have you ever met somebody?
Make a difference.
Like, have you ever met somebody that doesn't like Patrick Mahomes? I haven't.
No. No, Patrick Mahomes would be, I mean, if we did punchability all the way down the list, he'd be very low.
We're still pretty early in his career. Like, eventually he's going to get to the point where he's just so good and so ridiculous that people will hate him because of that. But I don't know if we're quite there yet.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, I guess if he loads up a hand with rings like Brady, at some point does he – I mean, people will get fatigued by the whole thing.
They've always got their
but
names.
His personality is just, you know, he's sort of like a kid having fun playing football,
right?
You know, so that'll be interesting. I don't know, like Brady, Brady transformed from like this gritty like sixth round pick and wow, what a story, to he's dating supermodels and he's like, you know, wearing designer clothes and he's this annoying like superstar quarterback dude
barking at offensive linemen.
I will say Aaron Rodgers is a lot more likable this year when he's not dating Olivia Munn and or Danica Patrick. A lot better. Playing a lot better, too.
Who's he dating now?
He's not dating anyone right now. So
he's discovered the secret.
Maybe that's the secret to success. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the Titans and the Packers matchup. Got a lot of your texts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Rob Domofsky, ESPN Packers reporter, will join us at 9 o'clock. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky will join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Joe, let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers in the last segment. Where does he rank on the punchable face scale as quarterbacks in the NFL? Chris in Nashville texts in and says, every time I hear an interview with Patrick Mahomes, I feel like he needs to be punched. I love Aaron Rodgers. So, Joe, there, in fact, are people out there that don't like Patrick Mahomes. This is the first that I've seen of this.
Wow. That is a new one for me.
Yeah.
I understand that he, you know, that he sounds like, Kermit the Frog when he talks.
He does.
But, you know, that to me is not enough to dislike the guy. But, hey, I guess there's probably someone who dislikes just about every quarterback in the NFL.
Could be, yeah. That's the price of being famous nowadays, Joe Rexroad. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says the Packers win this one 38-27 without any pass rush. I don't see how the Titans do anything to slow down Rodgers in that Packer offense. Green Bay will be able to slow down either A.J. or Corey Davis with the help of Jaire Alexander. A lot of faith in Jaire Alexander today on the text line.
Yeah, apparently Jaire Alexander is the answer to stopping this Titans offense. They've seen some other good cornerbacks this year, and it hasn't mattered much. I would point that out at this point.
Yeah, and Jaire Alexander, while gifted, may want to stay away from trying to tackle Derrick Henry up high. We've seen that not go well for cornerbacks as of late, especially this year.
Hell no!
How about the, by the way, the you tweet about this, the Tannehill
oh, man.
Reaction. The NFL field, that was good.
I have never that in was. My life loved Ryan Tannehill more than I did yesterday when that video came out of him talking to Derrick Henry after the stiff arm. And if you haven't seen it, it's on Twitter. I'll tweet it out again here in just a second, at @RStanleyNHL. It's amazing. Ryan Tannehill became the most likable person in the NFL history to me.
That was good. And, you know, what's interesting, it didn't seem like Henry reacted much.
I don't even think he heard him.
He just, yeah, I mean, he's not, like, Henry's not going to be at any point, like, gloating about it, you know? But I was like hoping Henry would be like, yeah, I hope he feels that one. But there was nothing like that. But yes, Tannehill's, he's got some nice kind of, you know, trash talk slash in between plays talk with his teammates.
Yeah.
It's very, it's a lot more entertaining than you would ever guess based on his press conferences. There's a dude who goes into complete player speak mode, you know, on the pressers, whether it's the real pressers, you know, last year or now on the Zoom, and then like totally different when he gets away from us. Come on, Ryan, bring some of that to the Zoom.
Just get
bring
some of that some of personality the in there. You're sitting here ripping Rodgers for personality in the last segment, and now you want to see more out of Tannehill. Gotta love it.
Hey, listen, I'm all for covering punchable people, okay? Like I love covering punchable people. Like, I mean, Taylor Lewan is very punchable, let's be honest, okay?
Wouldn't advise it, but yeah.
I mean, I know you think he's like the face of the franchise or whatever, but
he was
he's very,
time.
Very he's very punchable, and he's also very entertaining, and he's the exact same whether he's – other than basically he might cut the profanity down a little bit with us, but actually not that much. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of bleeping required, and so I – listen – as much as he annoys people in different ways, including maybe sometimes in his own organization at times, I'm a huge fan of that. So the more of that, the better. So hopefully people who cover Rodgers, we can ask Rob Demoski this next segment, at least get some enjoyment out of the smugness.
There's a lot of fun back and forth between Rodgers and Rob Demoski. We'll talk to him about that a little bit coming up. You've talked about Aaron Rodgers as maybe the greatest arm talent in the history of the NFL. I mean, you could put a couple guys in that category. I think Mahomes already is making a case that maybe that he fits in that conversation as well. But Rodgers and the Packers, only one Super Bowl during his tenure so far. And look, you hear it all the time, and he's talked about it before, like getting to number two oftentimes separates quarterbacks when you start to talk about the discussions of the greatest of all time and the quarterbacks of their era. Do you think Rodgers needs another Super Bowl under his belt to move into legendary status, or is he already there in your mind?
Well, this is another one where it's like, okay, A.J. Brown, number one receiver, elite receiver. Like, how do you define that? I mean, I think that, you know, I think that Aaron Rodgers already is legendary status to me. I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Do I think that another Super Bowl ring would elevate him? Sure. Yeah, for sure. And I think there is – the little list gets tighter. But again, if you talk about greatest quarterbacks of all time, like, you have to talk about guys like Dan Marino,
yep,
who has none and got to one ever. I mean, we are talking about, you know, Drew Brees right now, who has won and got to one, you know?
Brett Favre,
so,
yeah.
I mean, Brett Favre, too. I mean, it is, you know, it's kind of funny to think of the Packers in this run of these incredible guys and think that they only have one ring apiece.
Yeah, it's not
if you
funny.
Don't like, if you're predisposed to not liking the Packers. But Yeah, I mean, look, it elevates him. I don't know. It's a tough one with quarterbacks and rings because, again, like, I will put Marino up against most people I've ever seen playing the position, and he has zero. And he's the
right.
The big example to me of that. And, again, Tom Brady is right in the conversation with people to me, and I think people overstate where he is because of all the rings.
Yeah, like, it's interesting. I think if you're a Packers fan, like you said, I mean, you've had two of, what, the top 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time in the last 30 years in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. You've got two Super Bowls to show for it at this point. I mean, they've got a chance this year in the NFC, especially with how wide open it is. But, yeah, like, if he finishes his career with one, I do think part of the conversation will be, yeah, like, arm talent-wise, he's one of the greatest we've ever seen. Some of the things he was able to do on the field, and still, even to this day, is able to do on the field, you're talking about a handful of guys, maybe ever, who have been able to do it. But there will always be that. But he only got one Super Bowl. I mean, I think you saw that with Peyton as well, too. Like, even though, like, you watched that last Super Bowl he won with Denver, and he was done at that point. Like, he didn't have a whole lot to do with that in that game. Mm-hmm. People view him differently, that he got that second one rather than just being stuck on the one mark. So I do think if Rodgers doesn't get another one, there will be that caveat to his career that, yeah, he was great. He only got one Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. You're right. And it's – see, that's the thing with Peyton, too. Is like, I still think he had a lot to do with them getting there. He was great early in Denver.
He was, yeah.
But you're right. At the very end, it was so much – it was all on the shoulders of that defense. But, yeah, look, I mean, this is obviously a prime opportunity. And that's another thing is what kind of team do you have around you? And then in a given year, you know, like there are years where – I mean, certainly, I think of Dan Marino, there were some years where he had a team. In fact, 85, so the year before was his only Super Bowl. It was his second year in the league. In 85, they had a very good team. They routed the Bears. The only team to beat the Bears, the 85 Bears, was the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And then they blow it to Steve freaking Grogan and the Patriots. And then we all have to watch that team lose, you know, 1-3. I think it was actually 46-10 to the Bears, but there's an example. So when you have what are you doing in your opportunities? Cause you don't get a ton of them. And that was an example of Marino not playing his best and not taking advantage. So this is shaping up to be the year with Rodgers. If they get the one, they get all the games at home. It's like, okay, you've got Adams, you know, you got a decent defense. You got a great running back. This is it, man. Go win it now. You know, some quarterbacks are great and don't have that kind of opportunity. Like, again, Matthew Stafford, like, arm talent wise, I think he's on a short list of guys who have played in this league. He won't ever be remembered among the greatest quarterbacks, you know, because of team success. Unless, I mean, I shouldn't say that. He still has a lot of years. Maybe he'll get lucky and get the heck out of Detroit, but, that you can't say team success isn't tied to all these discussions with quarterbacks in particular.
We'll continue to look ahead to the Titans and the Packers. ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky joins us when we come back. Looking forward to that conversation. And make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week, a matchup between the New York Giants and the Baltimore Ravens. Kickoff is at noon. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.